everyone. Welcome to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. I'm Bruce Salen, and today we're going to talk about the Boston bombings. How can we not? Normally, we talk about whatever the topic has been in my current week's A Dad's Point of View column, which you can find in over 100 newspapers and websites worldwide. Or just go to BruceSalen.com, hit the Writing Plus tab at the top of the page, and you'll find a whole host of options underneath it. You can follow me on Twitter, at Bruce Salen. And please like the Dad's Point of View Facebook page. We're only, about 120 or so likes away from 5,000. And if you'd like to receive my newsletter, just go to BruceSalen.com on the homepage, and you can sign up, and you will get no spam, just a weekly newsletter of what's going on. Today, we have a special guest to start off the show, Sherilyn Harley Laban, who is co-chairman of the Project 21 National Advisory Board, and we'll learn more about her later. She was on a couple weeks ago, so I'm very happy to have her back. She will be followed by Pastor Drew Sams for Spiritual Rap, and then Dr. Jennifer for Therapy Talk. And I think what's so interesting is today we will talk about the Boston bombings from a political point of view with Sherilyn Laban, from a spiritual point of view with Pastor Drew Sams, and from a therapeutic point of view with Dr. Jennifer. Tonight at Dad Chat, I have preempted what was going to be our topic to also address the Boston bombings, specifically how we talk about these sort of things to our children. We can't hide them from the truth of the world, yet we don't need to scare them. So it's a delicate balance, depending on the age of your children, as to how we talk about things like 9/11 or this. It's so interesting because both my boys have been alive through these two events. They were too young to appreciably notice or pay attention when 9/11 happened. They are both old enough to experience this in a significantly different way, especially my older son, who is in Boston. And I spoke with him on the way up to my station, home station here in Santa Barbara, KZSB AM 1290, and he told me a sort of chilling story. Now, first, just to go back a little bit, the way I learned about what was going on was from a text from him shortly after the bombings took place, in which he said that he was okay. He basically implied that there had been some kind of bombing in Boston. I had no idea what it was, turned on the news, and immediately was paying attention for much of the rest of the day, as I'm sure most of you were, to the news, and that's how I found out. He didn't tell me till today that he had met a friend at Starbucks with the intention of walking to the finish line of the Boston Marathon. And there was some problem at Starbucks, and his friend's coffee drink took 15 minutes to get prepared, thus delaying them to just a few minutes after the bombing took place to head there. Just as I'm telling the story, I'm just thinking about the providence of the fact that he might have been in the middle of it all. Obviously, I'm grateful he's not, and I'm very sad for those that were. My other son, 16, also texted me a little later in the day and said, wanted to know if his brother was all right. And of course, I immediately texted him back that he was. And to me, that was one of the big differences in the 12 years separating these two incidents, how my boys responded, the maturity that my older one showed in easing any concern I might have had the moment I would have found out, because I would have tried to reach him, and it's very likely I might not have, because as we all know, they cut off cell service shortly after the bombings took place in an effort to get some leads on who might do it and prevent any other bombs that might have been triggered by a cell phone. So he called me probably literally minutes before he would have been unreachable. So I'm very grateful that he had the thoughtfulness to do that. I also, on the way up here, listened to the Dennis Prager show. Dennis is a casual friend of mine and someone who's been a very, very meaningful influence on my thinking over the years. He said three things about the Boston bombings that I thought were very, very important. He said these are three things he thought we should think about and consider and potentially do immediately after such a event, which is number one, and not in an order, but just the order he said them. Number one, have concern, care, and compassion for the victims. Do whatever we can in the way of help, support, whether we know them or for a charity or whatever. Number two, display and have what he calls righteous anger. And he immediately followed that up by saying all other forms of anger are not good, but righteous anger over something wrong, something evil, is good. And that includes efforts to find who did this and bring them to justice. And then number three, and this one I think is so interesting, is go on with life. That we must not let them disrupt our daily living. And he went on to say that obviously a tragedy like this or any of these such incidents, even 9/11, is not going to dismantle the United States. So what terror really tries to do is disrupt our way of life, have us live in fear, have us not go on with our daily life. I actually love what President Obama said, and I don't like much of what he says, but in this case, he is absolutely correct that next April we will celebrate the 115th or the 118th running of the Boston Marathon, and we will be there and we will carry on the great tradition. I mean, I'm paraphrasing his words, but I thought exactly what we need to let them know. Whoever them is, you will not disrupt our daily life. That doesn't mean we don't pause for some reflection. That doesn't mean we don't pause and see what we can do to help, but we don't stop. Now, interestingly enough, throughout that day, I was tweeting, as I always do. And a few of my tweets had to do with Boston, and many of them were not. And I got a tweet from someone I don't know, but who follows me, who said that she thought all my tweets of the day were inappropriate because of what had just taken place and the death of an 8-year-old boy. And I wasn't tweeting silliness, or certainly nothing negative or in any way reflective of the Boston bombing in any unpleasant way. So I paused and wondered how to respond, if at all, to her. And I basically did finally respond to say that I've been very well aware of what's gone on, but I believe life must go on. And that's what I think Dennis was saying as well. So we will have a new Because I Said So comic strip that is dedicated to the Boston bombings. It is obviously not going to be comic in nature, but and I have a column that I will publish on Saturday. So most of my listeners in Ohio, Wisconsin, and Cleveland, excuse me, and Alaska, it is in Cleveland, but that was the wrong mention at that point, can see that column at BruceSalen.com. Also, for my listeners in Santa Barbara and anybody listening live right now on the internet, we will be talking about the Boston bombings and our kids, as I said, tonight at Dad Chat. The new vlog of the week, my video blog, is clips from my son's high school production of Les Mis Rob. And he played Marius. And it was the first time I saw my sophomore in high school son perform in any meaningful way. And I must admit, I was scared to death because what if he wasn't any good? And thankfully, he was marvelous. And you can see clips of it at my website. Very quickly, let's hear a life lesson and then let's move on.
You got to accentuate the positive ELMI. I need the negative. Mm-hmm. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
All right.
I'm Bruce Salen, and this is A Dad's Point of View. Are you or your kids social media addicts? Are you addicted to social media? We used to worry about how much time our kids spent on television. Now we worry about how much time they spend on all their screens and how much, if any, time they spend outside. I know I spend a lot of time on the computer. Do you spend a lot of time on the computer? Maybe a good idea would be to require your kids to spend equal time outside with equal time online or on a screen. Wouldn't that be good? Make them play. Teach them to play. That's where creativity comes, not by playing video games. I'm Bruce Salen. Find me at BruceSalen.com. And please, be the best dad or mom you can be.
Bruce Salen, that's one of you.
You know, it's very interesting. Most of the life lessons seem to coordinate or be relevant to what I'm talking about. This one obviously wasn't, but it's still an important life lesson. So we are nearly out of time, correct, Richard, for this segment? Do stay tuned after the messages for very special guest Sherilyn Laban, and I hope you'll stay with us for the whole show. I think it will be a powerful one today. Stay tuned.
That's what it is.